Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's your reaction to this deal getting done and the Colts finding a way to pry Carson Wentz away from the Eagles?
Yeah, unbelievable. I still shake my head at teams that are willing to have a $34 million cap hit and no player to show for it. I think that's the big thing for guys that have been around the league that we just shake our head at are the deals the Rams made to take on excess cap and to get rid of Goff and take dead money. Now the Eagles are willing to take $34 million off a cap that might be $180 million. So they're talking about building a team next year with $150 million. That's a big disadvantage. So it's a struggle for those teams. And it's going to be real when they find out that they run out of money. I just think it's going to be hard. In this instance, I do like the trade for the Colts. You know, I think they're closer to where Carson Wentz needs them to be. They're closer to the Super Bowl. I just think it's a better fit. You know, I wrote a little column today for my blog, and I said, I think the trade may have fixed Carson Wentz. He goes to a place that has a better offensive line, better receivers, a better coaching setup. It just all fits for him. Carson Wentz is the winner in the deal. I'd say the Colts are second, and then Eagles are third.
Well, then looking at it from the Eagles' perspective, why would they do it? Especially considering, well, at least in my opinion, Carson Wentz is a better quarterback, or at least has more experience, closer to being a starter than Jalen Hurts.
Yes, I agree with you. I don't think they have the answer on their roster currently, and obviously they feel a little different about it. I was kind of the lone wolf on the island that didn't think it was a good idea to trade Carson Wentz, just from a football standpoint. I definitely think they take a step back, and I've heard some of the rumblings now. They say, well, we'll draft one at six. We'll, you know, good luck. I mean, I don't know. I think we're finding out more than ever before, but these quarterbacks at the top of the round are anything but a sure thing. So they can draft one at six if they want, but you've got to find one that you like. That's the big thing. And in my opinion, there's a couple of them I like, and I think they'll be gone one and two. So I don't know what they're going to solve at six. I think it's going to be an issue for the Eagles going forward. I don't see them as a better team now than they were a year ago, that's for sure.
I guess then I just don't get it. Is because they don't want an unhappy player on their roster?
Well, welcome to my world. I've said it from day one. It just doesn't make sense. I just don't get it. And I guess that's what they're saying, that he didn't want to be there. And I'll say this. I studied the tape on Carson Wentz, and the trust has been broken on so many levels with him and that organization, whether it's him and the GM or the front office, him and the offensive line because of the injuries, him and the receivers. I mean, he's a totally different player. Their team was really in disarray, and his trust was broken. And you cannot play quarterback in the NFL if you don't have confidence and trust and can go on your instincts. And he became a quarterback paint-by-numbers style. He didn't trust anything, and it showed. The trust was broken.
That if that's the case, is the trust automatically there because he's going to reunite with Frank Reich?
Well, anybody that knows Frank Reich knows that maybe that's the number one tool in his kit. Is he's a relationship guy. He will go out of his way. I'm sure Carson is happy about it. I think Reich knows his strengths and weaknesses. I think there will be, I won't say seamless, but the learning curve won't be long, that's for sure. So I do think he puts himself in a way better situation. And I do think Frank has obviously the confidence in him because he was with him before. And I think it's a good match. If there's anything to come out of this, it's that the match of Frank Reich and Carson Wentz is, I think, going to be good. And it's going to, the Colts are ready to go, right?
Right.
They're a playoff team.
Right.
So I don't see them taking long to fit in and get to know each other. And they're not going to have to date long before they're married.
honestly, it feels to me like the Colts must be ecstatic because they do have a ready-made team. The offensive line, the run game, the receivers, we know the defense is really good. They had 11 wins last year with a quarterback who obviously is headed for the Hall of Fame but was certainly stopgap. Now they add a guy that can be the face of their franchise who already has a history with their head coach. I don't know how much better it can get.
Oh, I agree. I think they think the resurrection of Carson Wentz is happily in their lap, and they're celebrating about it, no doubt. Plus, they didn't have to really give up any draft picks this year. You know, the third, yes, that's something, but the cost was not something that's going to set him back. So I think it's there's not a lot of risk. He's a $25 million guy for two more years. That's what they paid Phillip Rivers. So the money isn't exorbitant to them, and it's a good fit all the way around for the Colts.
It's a great night to have Randy Mueller with us on the show. He's a former NFL Executive of the Year, was a GM with the Saints and the Dolphins, and worked with the Chargers and Seahawks, and now joins us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I don't want to spend the entire time talking about quarterbacks, but you mentioned moving a guy who wasn't happy. Well, I kind of look at the Houston Texans situation, and I think they should hang on to them because I don't know how you recover from trading away a top-five receiver, a top-five quarterback, and also losing J.J. Watt, who's kind of the engine of your team. But, Randy, if you're running the Texans and Deshaun Watson is threatening to skip a year, you still hold his rights, what do you do?
Yeah, I'm not trading him. I've said it from day one, and I think Nick Caserio, their GM, agrees. You can't part with a guy like this. The talent is too great. I think you would spend years trying to get back to being level par, you know? And I don't think they will trade him at the end of the day. I think they've made it clear. Now, they may have to make some changes in their own organization, and we've all read and heard about the discourse that's happening there, but I don't think they can trade the guy. I think they'll lose their locker room. They may have already, but I think they've got to find a way to make it work without a doubt, and that falls on the lap of Cal McNair, the owner. He's got to make peace. He's got to do what's right. I don't know this Jack Easterby guy who gets all the publicity down there, but I've never seen a more polarizing character that's not a coach, not a football guy, you know, not really involved in any of those things as his area of expertise, but yet he's kind of tearing the team apart. It's crazy. I think that's an easy call. I'm going to go with my quarterback in this case.
So then if you keep Deshaun Watson and he does end up sitting out for a certain period of time, does that hurt your team to the point where you can't recover or you just ride it out?
I think you've got to ride it out. The thing that people maybe don't realize is he's got a lot of mechanisms in his contract that come with salary de-escalators. He's got fines set up in there. It would cost him about $20 million. It would negate future guarantees in his contract if he sits out. There's a lot of tools in there that the Texans have on their side that you don't hear much about because they're not going to bring this up publicly. They're not going to disparage their own player. So there's a lot of insurance in there that they have against him sitting out. But if he feels that strongly and wants to give up those kind of things in the future, that's fine. I've never seen it. I mean, I think if he wants to play, and he wants to get paid, he's going to have to do it where the Texans want him to be, and that's where they're at right now.
Mm-mm. Okay, so then let me throw this at you, because Jason LaCanfora of CBS Sports posed this crazy situation where David Tepper, who's the owner of the Panthers, is so desperate to have Deshaun Watson, who of course played at Clemson, is super popular, so desperate to have him that he might consider throwing three first-round picks at the Texans. Would that be enough to make you think twice?
You know, you'd have to consider it. You'd have to get a little discussion going about it. I would say that because I think that's crazy. But crazy. They give out crazy pills everywhere, I guess. You never know. So, yeah, you'd have to consider that. That's a lot. You still don't have a quarterback going forward, though. So you've got to have a plan for that. And maybe you parlay that into something else. But again, drafting one, that's risky business. That's probably not going to pay off for a year or two. Signing one, I don't know where you're going to find a replacement for Watson. So it's a hard, they're between a rock and a hard spot, that's for sure.
Some other news from the NFL on Thursday. The league is boosting the floor of the salary cap so that it can't drop any lower than $180 million, though it would still be a fairly steep decline from 2020. What do you make of this from your GM brain, Randy?
Well, I think it's really hard for teams to plan at all, that's for sure. And I think this helps some of the teams. I mean, there's four or five teams, really playoff teams, that you know, $60, $70, $80 million over the cap right now. So they're hurting. But it really makes it hard for all the teams to plan when they don't know what the cap is. So 180 beats 175, so that's one less deal they have to recoup on. The problem is you don't know where it's going to be in years two and three. You know, I think when they made the deal with the Players Association to set these floors, they were going to spread out the revenue losses over 3 years. So you really can't make contracts. It's hard to make any decisions for 22, for 23, without knowing where the cap is. And then they're talking about opening the TV contract talks as well. So it just kind of leaves everything in disarray. It's a nightmare to plan now if you're a GM, if you're a contract person, because you just don't know what numbers you're dealing with. I know this, if I'm signing anybody to any contracts, I'm probably not giving them raises the first 3 years because I don't know if the cap's going to go up much. So you're going to see some flat deals, I believe, that you know, normally you'd build in 10-15% raise every year in your contracts. I don't know that you can do that at all the way that COVID has affected the revenue stream.
I get this feeling that we're going to see some surprising cap casualties because, as you point out, there are teams that really don't have any place to go. They have to strip salary, especially if it drops. Do you get the feeling this offseason could be a tough one for a lot of established players, free agents who are making a lot of money?
No doubt about it. I had this conversation with the GM last week, and I don't think there will ever be a time when there'll be more good players on the street. If you do have cap room and can retool your team, you're going to have a chance to do it in spades because there's going to be a lot of good players, and I think they're going to be able to be had for a decent price as well. So if you're in the retooling business with 50, 60 millions of cap dollars, I think you're going to see that the have-nots become the haves in the league, and it's an easy time to turn your franchise around.
Former NFL GM Randy Mueller is with us from Idaho, where he's got a lot of snow there as well, so that's kind of cool. I don't know that we get many guests from Idaho, so it's good.
Well, there's not many of us out here, that's why.
It's good to have you here after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Putting together a team is obviously, it's a giant jigsaw puzzle, and one of the things I love about the NFL is that you will have teams go from first to worst, but you'll also have teams go from worst to first every single year. It's jumbled up and it gets a little crazy. What's it like behind the scenes when you got the new league year staring you in the face?
It's really crazy because that league year comes at the same time free agency hits normally. So it's a madhouse, and I remember folders and notebooks and all kinds of things running through my head, and I'm spending all this time on it. Here's what it's like, though, Amy. I remember losing a playoff game in Minnesota when I was the GM of the Saints, and on the flight on the way back, I'm starting my off-season plan, right? I mean, the game hadn't been over 2 hours.
Wow.
And I'm making a to-do list before we even land in New Orleans of things that I know we need to do. So these GMs are grinding the minute the off-season gets here. We've already seen the trades that have happened around the league. Well, just think about this. For every trade that does happen, there's probably 10 or 12 that get discussed and talked about. So, yeah, so the workload, the off-season, there's really no off-season. It's when these guys all earn their keep. Their scouting staff, they've already been meeting on free agency and on the draft. So all of that's happening at the same time. They're trying to realign their salary cap and get ready to start a new league year on March 17th. So it's crazy.
What types of things would you scribble on your to-do list?
Well, I think the biggest things were always to get your cap in order because you knew what money had been pushed off. Sometimes you might make a trade or two that require some consideration depending on play time of certain players. So you always wanted to research that so you'd know right away. You'd kind of project ahead to see if you were due a compensatory pick from any free agents that had been lost the year before. There's a table that you can kind of figure out if you're going to get an extra pick or not. But really, then you come up with your needs of your team. Nobody knows your team better than you do. So you kind of outline three or four needs that you want to fill. And then in order to have the best way to fill it, you kind of need to have your draft information. So you're immediately in building mode, and all this stuff happens at the same time. So it's a fun time to be a GM. And the list, it feels good when you get to cross one off, that's for sure.
I saw the tweet from J.J. Watt, and I think this is a lot of fun for him because he's never gone through this before, the free agency process. But he tweeted that free agency is wild. So when you look at the uncertainty with the cap and the types of teams that he would like to join, which are, of course, Super Bowl contenders, what do you think he's worth out there on the free agent market?
I think that is a giant question right now because – I don't think it wasn't really a surprise to me that the Texans did release him at $17.5 million. You knew something was going to have to give, right? He's not the player he once was. Having said that, his intangibles, his leadership, the other things he can bring to a team, and he'll still play, don't get me wrong, but I think he's best now suited for a 25 to 35 play a game guy. And if he plays more than that, I think the production isn't going to be there. So once you find the role for him, then it's not only that, you got to find the team that I assume that winning the Super Bowl is going to be at the top of his list. So you've got to do that. And then they've got to have cap room. So I don't know what he'll end up getting when he does decide. My guess is it $7 million a year, $8 million a year? I don't know. Something like that probably makes sense. And again, I don't think he's going to let money rule the roost. I think he wants to win, and so you can probably pencil in the AFC title guys and the NFC title guys and go from there.
Shaq Barrett, after seeing him at the Super Bowl and on that highest level, do you think that teams will then pursue him as well to try to pry him away from the Bucs?
Well, I think they will. I think it's all about fit with a guy like Shaq Barrett. You know, is it a 3-4 alignment? I think he's got to play in a certain defense because of his size and his strengths. And the 3-4 seem to be the best fit for him. And most of his money and his production is made rushing the passer, obviously. So as an edge rusher, there's always a market for that. Again, he's just coming off a Super Bowl win. I don't know. Maybe he's going to look to go somewhere wherever he gets paid the highest dollar. He's not coming from a place like JJ was where he's making $20 million a year. So everybody has a different agenda, a different priority, and we'll see what he gets. But I know there'll be some teams after him. Who knows? He may end up back in Denver where it all started for him. If they're talking about letting Von Miller possibly walk, they've got to have a replacement for him. So it's a game of musical chairs at all these positions. It's crazy.
It is. Randy Mueller with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. I'll admit, I thought of you when Russell Wilson made his comments about getting hit and about how he would like to have some input on personnel decisions. I laughed out loud when people were talking about the Seahawks trading him or the Seahawks trying to find a new quarterback. I think it's fitting that neither Pete Carroll nor John Schneider has said anything publicly in response to that. But what was your reaction when you heard what Russell had to say on the Dan Patrick Show and on his most recent press conference?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I guess the first thing I thought of was I remembered when Bill Parcells made the statement one time, I don't want a diva for a quarterback. And the more he kept talking, this was on the end of him saying he wanted to hire or be involved in hiring his own offensive coordinator too. So that wasn't his first volunteering of his services in the off season. So Russell has been through that. I guess my next thing I thought about was accountability for really himself. And I know Russell, I like him. I think there's no way he's going anywhere. But he's got to probably stick to his own, in his own lane. I think I would have loved to have seen more accountability for his own play, having to do with some of their failures this year in the second half of the season. So I think the reason you're not going to hear Pete or John talk about it is they're kind of like us. They're going to let him have his say. And I think some of that, to Russell's credit, is probably in frustration. You know, he heard, he saw what Tom Brady did. He heard what Aaron Rodgers did, and these guys all have egos too. They wanted, hey, don't forget about me. You know, I'm going to throw this out there hey, I'll be willing to help any way I can, and then some. So I think he was frustrated when he made the comments, but I'm not really reading too much into it. I think the people in Seattle now were put on notice for a while, and hey, who knows? Maybe it'll help spur something on to change, and maybe they'll improve in a couple other areas because of it. I think that's probably what he's trying to do more than anything, is say, hey, my window's closing, let's get going.
Should a star quarterback or a high-profile player at another position have input about personnel decisions or coaching hires, Randy?
Well, I don't see how they can. They don't have enough perspective, really, unless they're going to come in at 5 a.m. with the rest of us and watch tape every day and be involved in all the meetings and all the discussions. They just don't have enough information. But having said that, I do think on the coaching front, I would have no problem listening to my star players. If they had something they wanted to say, I think they can be part of the consensus building team. None of us are smarter than all of us. So I'm willing to listen to any input. And then frankly, if they have some input on a particular player or two that they know something about, maybe they know something that I don't about a college kid or a free agent. I don't think there's anything wrong with gathering the information, but I don't think they can be really involved in the decision itself. They have to allow the people to do their job to do that for a living. That's just my opinion.
But first step would be to invite them to the 5 a.m. tape sessions at the facility.
Yeah, that might eliminate a few of them, don't you think?
It would eliminate me, I'll tell you that much. Good stuff with Randy. You can find him on Twitter at @RandyMueller_. He's the 2000 NFL Executive of the Year and worked with a bunch of different teams in the league. Also has the Football GM podcast. And I really enjoy your insights, Randy. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Thanks, Amy, as always.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.